Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Can something that began in 1991 qualify as a tradition? The collection titled The Best American Sports Writing certainly feels like one. The book boasts both continuity, because Glenn Stout has been editing the series for all 19 years, and novelty, since each volume gets a new guest editor. Lee Montville filled that slot for The Best American Sports Writing 2009. When I had the opportunity to visit with him and with Glenn Stout, I began our conversation by bringing up one of my favorite entries in the collection, Matthew Teague's profile of Philadelphia Phillies manager Charlie Manuel, titled Inside the Mind of a Genius? Each season, lots of sports writers profile lots of managers and coaches. I asked Glenn why this one had made the cut.
Well, this one, I think when Matthew wrote it, it was a counterattack about Charlie Manuel, because at that point, Charlie Manuel was being laughed at as being, you know, a bit of a hayseed in the sport. And Matthew Teague kind of discovered that that might not be the truth. And then, sure enough, in the wake of the story, the Phillies win the World Series. Now, I suppose if you want to fast forward up a year, you might go, well, then again, but nevertheless, I think it shows us a side of Charlie Manuel that you otherwise would not be aware of, that he's not this total hayseed, but this is a man who, like, is actually, you know, lived in Japan. He's quite urbane, quite knowledgeable about baseball, and does truly love the sport.
And plus, he got the Phillies back to the World Series. How bad is that?
Yeah, that's not easy either. I mean, let's face it, the Phillies didn't get to the World Series for decades and decades, so to do it 2 years in a row is pretty good.
Lee, I wanted to start with that story set in a traditional sport, because there are so many stories in this volume that aren't set in a traditional sport, or so it seemed to me. Was that intentional?
No, I was just looking for the best writing, actually. You know, Glenn gives me like 80 stories. You get this box full of stuff from Vermont, you know, in an old Nike shoebox.
Sure.
And then you kind of read through it. And I would say overall, the stories were from all over the map rather than traditional. The traditional seems to me locked into that day-to-day thing, you know. Are we going to trade for Curtis Grandison tomorrow, you know? Whereas other sports kind of lend themselves to writing better, I think.
Glenn, maybe I should have asked you that question first, because you are the guy who reads all the potential entries and makes the initial cut down to 80. Were there more impressive stories this time around about sports other than the ones that we tend to see represented on TV in primetime?
You know, I'm not sure if there were or not, but I will say this. I think that it's sometimes easier for a story about a non-traditional sport to stand out and for the writing in it to stand out, simply because it's often a writer approaching a new subject. And when you're approaching something new, sometimes you look at it in a somewhat different way than you would at a sport that you've covered a lot or that you're very familiar with. At the same time, too, over the almost 20 years we've been doing this, there is a lot more coverage of other sports now than there was 20 years ago. Hmm. There's a Tiddlywink championship going on in Burlington next week. Somebody's going to write a story about it. And, you know, that would not have been the case 20 years ago.
And at least it'll be on a website or a blog, even if a major magazine doesn't pick it up.
Well, exactly. Even if a major magazine doesn't exist anymore, you know, it's still going to be written about somewhere. And that's, you know, quite frankly, that's like an enormous change that's taken place over the last 20 years. So, you know, sports, I think, by definition, has gotten a lot larger over the last couple of decades.
I got a call the other day from Bob Ryan, the venerable Boston Globe and ESPN columnist. And he had picked up the book and was reading through it. And he said, I think I'm still in the record books. He says, I think I wrote the last on-deadline story that was in the Best Sports Story series. and it was from 2003 on the seventh game of the World Series. And he said, I bet there'll never be another on-deadline story.
I wouldn't say never, but I think it's, you know, that's a real challenge. Not so much that a story like that couldn't make the book, but the stories like that aren't being written.
Only Bob would have paid attention to that fact and would have recorded it in his personal history.
And I'm sure there was a little venom in his voice when he mentioned it as well. Lee, you stepped back from the business of magazine journalism some years ago to devote your time to writing books. When you went burrowing through the entries Glenn sent you, what did you find yourself thinking about your former profession?
the magazine profession
or
the newspaper profession?
Well, both, because both are represented here.
Yeah. I was interested to see how many newspaper articles there were that were in the pile, and it was precious few. I was kind of worried, to tell you the truth, that I think sports writing has become like an endangered species, kind of like where the last blacksmith's still working. You know, there's a couple of horse tracks and a few farms, but but that's about it. But I was very pleasantly surprised by the quality of the writing and the number of great stories there. It's just morphing into other parts of the business, I think.
I ask this question of the guest editor every year, and each year I look forward to the answer. As you read the submissions, which one first had you saying to yourself, ah, well, whatever else happens, this one's in?
Probably the one that has that great lead about, I forget the exact thing, on the day he was going to have his leg cut off, he decided he really wanted to go running, you know. I mean, how can you not read that? You know, shoot me, I'm dead because if I don't read that.
That's the first story in the book, and that lead is the reason why it's the first story in the book, because how can you turn down a story like that?
That first one, by the way, is called Life and Limb by Bruce Barcutt from Runner's World. For the record, that lead reads, on the day he decided to pay a man to cut off his leg with a power saw, Tom White woke up with a powerful yearning to run. I feel guilty laughing at that because it's a pretty gruesome image. But, yeah, it's quite a lead.
Yeah, and I mean that the rest of that story goes on to fulfill that promise mm-hmm. fully, I think, too. Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised by the inclusion of Ambie Burfoot's story about the 1968 Boston Marathon. Lee, do you have a soft spot for former runners looking back over their shoulders?
Well, I went to work at the Boston Globe in 1968. One of the first things I covered was Ambie Burfoot winning the Boston Marathon. And I've always thought it was great that he went into writing, that he became a writer. I mean, how many athletes have become writers and they actually write it themselves? And a very good writer. He became a very good writer. And, you know, it's hard to be a writer. There's a bunch of guys that become color men and kind of say, that was a tremendous play by a tremendous guy under a tremendous coach. But but there are very few guys that actually can write coherent sentences and he's one of them, and he brings us into the feelings of winning that so long ago very well.
Glenn, I'm going to ask you to look forward regarding another question. How many articles about Tiger Woods do you suppose you'll be receiving over the next few months?
Too many.
Well, short
answer.
But
I'm actually serious about it. It sort of reminds me of, you know, a number of years ago when Magic Johnson was first diagnosed with AIDS, and I got everybody's take on Magic Johnson, not any of them necessarily very memorable. The memorable story about Tiger Woods may not appear next year. That might be a story that'll appear 5 or 6 years down the road. I think the memorable stories about Magic happened several years after the fact. It's one of those things where I think sometimes it has to percolate and process for a while. But everyone will give it their shot, and I'm not gonna turn them all down. But let me tell you, the lead better be really good.
Yeah.
On the day he decided to have his leg cut off with a chainsaw,
Tiger Woods decided to call up a girlfriend,
but he couldn't figure out which one.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a great story in here about Jack Nicklaus, a father bear by Wright Thompson. That story, to me, brought in a whole other aspect of Jack Nicklaus than we'd ever seen, how really businesslike he was, how he doesn't want to play golf. It was a true, true story, and maybe the Tiger Woods story, like Glenn says, won't come for 40 years. Mm. 40 years from
Looking
now,
back.
He'll be able to look back.
To wrap this up, I want to ask both of you about a question that comes up in the introduction to Best American Sports Writing 2009. Lee, you write regarding perhaps the near future, quote, will there be sports writers? What did you have in mind with that question?
I don't know. Everything now, it seems to be for the moment. Like you said, Tiger Woods. Everybody is talking about Tiger Woods for the moment without a lot of knowledge, you know? I mean, everyone is just blabbing about it and giving their 2 cents worth. And I sometimes wonder if that is just going to overtake the entire business, that reporting will kind of go out the window, that the for-the-moment story will just be the only story.
So is that a concern limited to sports writing, or are you talking about a concern?
About everything.
All writing.
You know, I mean, we're fighting two wars, and we got three guys over there covering them, and two of them, you know, just graduated from BU last year or something. You know what I mean? Statehouse bureaus are closing down everywhere. Who's watching anybody now?
Glenn, any worries that we're all engaged in a dying endeavor?
Well, I mean, I share the same worry, but I also see kind of what comes out the other side, and that is that there's a lot of people who maybe aren't coming through the newspaper experience, and some of them are learning on the fly, but there's also a lot of really inventive work being done. And I think the work that stands out, even if it's coming from non-traditional sources, are from those people that learn that, you know, reporting is the basis for everything, that it's not enough just to sit back and opine on a subject, that you really have to report on it, you really have to do some thinking, and you really have to be inventive in the way you write about it. So I'm, you know, I'm putting my faith in the continuing creativity of the writer.
Glenn Stout is the series editor of Houghton Mifflin's annual volume, Best American Sports Writing. Glenn, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks again, Bill.
And Lee Montville is the guest editor of the 2009 edition of the book. Lee, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
My conversation with Glenn Stout and Lee Montville about the Best American Sports Writing 2009 will be featured in this week's program. I'll also be talking with Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports about the scramble to determine which NFL teams will make the playoffs as Week 17 of the pro football season unfolds. I'll be talking college football, too, or rather, I'll be listening to Greg Doyle of CBSSports.com talk about college football, meaning at this time, bowl games past, bowl games present, and bowl games yet to come. We'll have a story about one of the most celebrated female basketball players ever to pass on UConn. She's currently playing for the not-so-fabled Blue Hens of the University of Delaware, and Only a Game's Doug Trabue will tell the tale of outdoor ice hockey as it's been played on ponds everywhere, as well as in Wrigley Field and, most recently, in Fenway Park. So join us, and remember you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.